Welcome to this TLAP podcast on supporting proactive and responsive markets. My name's Andy Tilden, and I'm joined by some esteemed panellists who are, on my left,
Clinton Farguson from TLAP.
Tristan Bryce representing ADAS.
Bridget Day from the Local Government Association.
Steve Holmes from the Care Quality Commission.
Colin Angel from the United Kingdom Home Care Association.
Thank you. And in particular, I'm interested in what we actually mean by innovation. Very topical at the moment. We hear it all the time. So I suppose to kick off, I'd like to hear from each of the panellists about what innovation means to you and your organisation. So, Colin.
So it means the ability to deliver services in ways that we haven't previously been able to do them. And I think one of the things that really helps with that is moving away from a very prescriptive way of buying services, moving away from thinking about how much time is available for doing a list of jobs, and coming through to how do we meet people's needs in a way that supports them well.
Thanks, Colin. Steve?
Yeah, I think in the Care Quality Commission it means what's the benefits for whom and for what. There's something around the developments around digital and technical innovation, but most importantly I think there's the, for adult social care, the innovation around how to meet people's personalisation needs and to support them having the life that they want to have, linked to them making it real statements and how that relates to quality matters.
Bridget?
Well, I'm from the Local Government Association, so I've got to get this plug in here. I mean, I think we can have innovation, but we've got to recognise there's a £1 billion gap in social care funding for the next financial year. So innovation has always got to be seen in that context. I think where I work in the Care and Health Improvement Programme, for us, majoring in commissioning, for me, I think it is about improving outcomes for people at the end of the day. And it's also about sustainability of good quality services as well. So it's also about keeping what we've got that's good going, as well as doing new stuff.
Tristan?
So from an ADAS perspective, it's around creating an environment in which ideas are encouraged to flourish. And for example, from a commissioning perspective, facilitating, enabling a commissioning practice that enables individuals who access services to receive high quality services. So echoing other colleagues' views around quality matters. And it's about how does one sort of collaborate and work more effectively, as Bridget says, with dwindling resources, but ensures that the quality of service received by the person accessing it continues to be of high quality and continues to improve quality.
That's a great segue to you, Clinton.
For me, there's no innovation or creativity without failure. So for me, it's about giving people real power to be our authors of our own life.
As I was hearing those responses, Colin, one of the issues that came to my mind was about innovation and how does the private sector actually fund innovation, and does it fund innovation?
Well, yes, we're seeing innovation coming in through the private sector, particularly in the self-pay market. And one of the examples I'd use are moving to electronic care records, which have the advantage that with the person's permission, family members can see whether care has been delivered, whether it's reliable, whether medication has been received during the day. And actually what providers need to be able to do that is to have enough in their profit or surplus to actually be able to take some risks on investing in new technology or in new systems of working. And that is what we're going likely to see in the self-pay market rather than a rather stretched statutory sector.
Thank you. Is there a danger with innovation? This is a question to anybody in the panel, that the baby can be thrown out with the bathwater. So I'm seeing, particularly in social media, a number of folk who are coming up with innovative ideas that almost seem to say what exists at the moment with regard to residential care, for example, or home care, for example, is actually out. and the focus should be on all of these new innovative ways of doing it. Is there a danger that people think of that, or am I simply trying to hold on to some of the things of the past, i.e. residential care and home care?
I think, following on from Clayton's point, is innovation tends to be small and tends to grow. So it's about how does one enable that to happen, but then identify what has the biggest impact so that then that can grow at scale. I don't think we've necessarily sort of nailed that just as yet. I don't know what others think.
I suppose from my point of view, Steve from CQC, you know, we've had this conversation in this forum a number of times, really, that is personalisation just something that takes place outside the system for people who don't use the system? I think we've taken over the years a more mature line than that, that actually personalisation should be for everybody wherever they live. And that whether they live in a care home with care, or whether they live in their own home, you know, that they should, that the principles of good support to live your life should be exactly the same. I mean, obviously there are compromises when you move into a collective group setting. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever we have a collective setting, there are compromises to be made. There are also advantages potentially in a group setting. People like to have companionship. Actually, you know, people can feel very isolated and alone in their own home. It's not necessarily the best thing for everybody not to have group care, for example. So I think that the juxtaposition between innovation equates to life alone, and actually residential care equates to bad life with a group of people, is a false premise.
Clinton Farquharson here. I'd just like to say there are some examples out there when we talk about innovation. There's wellbeing teams, there's social prescribing, there's quite a few different things that are looking at innovation that goes away from the prescription of task that imposes itself on my life, especially as a person who uses services. You know, I've said it before, we want a life, not a service. So it's about how do you create the creativity for that to happen.
And how does the work, this is Tristan from ADAS again, I think a big challenge then is how do you encourage, enable and facilitate and foster that within a workforce, be they the current workforce, but I think the real opportunity is future workforce. You've got so much skills and ability, IT, you know, information technology, knowledge, everyone, lots of young kids are using iPads, etc. So how can we take that mainstream innovation and start implementing and embedding that in care services?
Colin Angel from UKHCA, there are no shortage of innovators looking at the social care sector with ideas, some of which will work and some of which won't. That is going to be a fact of life. Part of the responsibility for everybody in the system is looking at what are those innovative solutions likely to deliver, whether they're likely to be at scale, and to be really clear that some innovative technologies will take over and take on really quickly, which can destabilize a market and leave a lot of people behind if they don't keep up.
Thank you, Colin. I'm going to let the providers have the last voice on that. Or Clinton, do you want to come in?
I just wanted to remind people what the first statement that I said when I came in. There's no innovation or without creativity, but we have to create the conditions for failure to happen.
I agree.
You have to be brave.
Yeah. And I think that's a message for commissioners as well as providers, is there's got to be an element of risk taking. Yeah. It's understandable at the moment people don't feel there's that room for manoeuvre because the market is so fragile. But I absolutely agree with you. There's got to be a bit more of an appetite for risk to really change anything.
Thank you, Bridget, Steve, Tristan, Colin, Clinton. Thank you very much. We've been the TLAP podcast. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.